this real life?
Hey there, citizens of the world. Welcome to the Real Life Podcast, where our mission is to inspire, connect, and empower the world to learn English the fun, natural, and real life way.
We believe that English should not be a dry and boring school subject, but an inspiring and enriching lifestyle that you can practice and enjoy whenever and wherever you want.
In this podcast, you will have lots of fun, learn plenty of new expressions, and drastically improve your listening comprehension.
We'll also teach you the secrets of native pronunciation, connected speech, and help you tune in your listening and speaking to the rhythm and flow of English.
So sit back, relax, and let's get on with the show. Oh yeah, what is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another episode of Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, effective, and
righteous,
or
hella dope
way to learn English. So download this podcast now and listen to us while you're hunting frogs,
hitting one out of the park,
cleaning up an accident,
clipping your eyebrows.
You mean plucking?
Plucking your eyebrows.
Or tweezing.
Tweezing your eyebrows.
Or rolling with the punches.
Rolling with the punches. All right, so I'm joined here in the studio with my co-hosts, plural, the man who can scare the pants back on you, Mr. V. Ethan, what's up?
Wait, I get the man who this week?
You do? You're awesome.
I must have graduated or something.
Yeah.
To a new level of podcasting.
So yeah. What does it mean to scare the pants off somebody, first of all?
It's just an expression. I think we covered this in expressions related to being really scared, something like that. We did an episode about that, I think. It just means to be really frightened. If something or someone scared the pants off you, it's just an exaggerated way to say you were really scared. Let me also introduce you to, if you didn't know, our other co-host today, the man who once threw a 99-yard touchdown pass to himself, Justin Murray.
Oh yeah, it's true.
So Justin, what did you mean by, first of all, to hit it out of the park?
To hit it out of the park means to be very successful on something. It's a baseball metaphor we talked about in the last lesson on baseball metaphors.
Mm-hmm.
So it means to hit a home run.
Okay. To hit a home run in the sexual way, right?
No, to hit it out of the park is actually, like, if you have a really great meeting or something, or you do really great on a test.
Okay.
You hit it out of the park.
Okay, it's kind of like saying you really nailed it.
Yes, exactly.
That could also be used in a sexual way too. But in this case, we're not related.
I think we've talked about that on the podcast before.
Probably.
Someone's got their mind in the gutter today.
In the gutter, Mr. V?
Mind in the gutter means that you're full of dirty thoughts.
What is a gutter?
A gutter is where the... when it rains, it's where the water goes, is in the gutter.
Sometimes it gets clogged up by leaves, though.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, we have another awesome episode for you guys today. It's going to be part two to our most recent episode about sports expressions. Last time we only covered baseball expressions. So we decided in this episode we're going to do a few more sports and really hit this one out of the park and roll with the punches.
Roll with the punches?
I don't know, you said that at the start. Want to explain that?
Roll with the punches is when something doesn't go your way the way you wanted it to.
Mm-hmm.
And you're disappointed, but you have to adapt to the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You kind of face it with a positive attitude, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like going with the flow.
Exactly. It's another expression, similar.
And what sport is that related to roll with punches? Not baseball, is it?
Nope.
Boxing?
Boxing.
I think you guys talked about this also on a podcast with Max.
I think we did.
So...
Kind of miss Max, right?
I miss Max. Max Power, if you're out there...
If you're out there listening, we really miss you, man. Okay, enough dilly-dallying, and let's get on with today's episode and move straight in to today's shout outs. You know you make me
wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout. Aight, guys. Today we have...
Wait, did you just say aight? Okay. Don't think I've ever heard you say that before, but that was awesome.
I've been hanging out in the hood, man.
Okay. Sorry.
All right. So, this is from Abimelech from Romania. It's a 5-star review. Awesome. I like it.
You like the review, or that's what he's saying in the review?
That's what he said.
Okay.
That's the title.
Okay, so the title of the review is...
Awesome. I like it. And he says in the review, it's very sweet to hear fun and natural English. It's exactly what I was looking for. Thank you guys for your great efforts. Heaps of thanks.
Hmm.
He must have learned Australian English.
I think so. Yeah.
What does heaps mean?
Heaps is just a way to say a lot. Like heaps of something is a lot of something. Or he said heaps thanks.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's not so common to say heaps thanks, but it's common to use heaps before like adjectives, especially good. That was heaps good.
I heard a lot of Australians say too, heaps good.
Heaps good.
Yeah.
Yeah. The accent you're referring to.
The accent,
right?
Yeah.
Chad does use that a lot, though. I'd never heard it before. Okay. And that with, I reckon, he uses rubbish a lot. These are terms that are very different from our American English.
I think he says rubbish very often.
I'd always say rubbish instead of trash, that's for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Enough of dilly-dallying.
I just want to say thanks heaps for that awesome 5-star review all the way from Romania. It's awesome.
Avi Melek, thank you very much.
He's heaps good.
Heaps of gratitude to you. Next review we have is a 5-star review from Germany, titled Congratulations, by Uwe from Berlin. It says, cool, and best English PC I ever heard. PC? Podcast?
I guess so.
I like the abbreviation.
Yeah. Unless he means the best personal computer, maybe, that he's ever heard.
Thank you very much, Uwe. It's very kind of you. And why do we appreciate these 5-star reviews?
I'm glad you asked, Justin. That's because each time we get a 5-star review on iTunes, it helps our ranking on iTunes. Therefore, more people get exposed to the podcast, and the more people we can help achieve lifelong English fluency through Real Life Radio.
Oh yeah.
So keep those shout outs coming, and we'll keep on producing this podcast. And let's move on to today's kick
ass
quote.
Oh yeah. I'm kick ass.
Okay, so today I'm going to pass the mic over to Mr. V here for this one.
Is Mr. V going to be reading out today's kick ass quote?
I believe he is.
Okay.
I'm going to try my best, guys.
Okay. Let's hear it with some Mr. V enthusiasm.
So this is a quote that I heard recently in a really awesome podcast called Entrepreneur on Fire that we're all big fans of.
What do they mean by the term to be on fire? He's an entrepreneur on fire.
Full of energy, enthusiasm, and success.
It can also be like in sports, like in basketball, for example. He's on fire, it just means he's playing really well.
Yeah.
He's on fire today.
Yeah.
Making some slam dunks.
This girl is on fire.
I'm not sure that's the same way. But
and then she was shooting a really good game of hoops. Anyway,
so
back to the quote.
Okay.
So this is just like a really inspirational quote. It's something I like to actually look at every day because it kind of inspires me to go out there and give my best, take full advantage of the day. So the quote is from Lee Chun Young, and it is the following. At all times in life, you will either affect people with your greatness or you will infect them with your mediocrity.
Ooh, want to repeat that, Mr. V?
Sure. At all times in life, you will either affect people with your greatness or you will infect them with your mediocrity.
That's some powerful words right there from Lee Chun Young. And what do you think he means by this? What do you get from this? And how would you associate this with either, in your case, an entrepreneur on fire or an English learner on fire?
Ah, I like an English learner on fire.
Yeah.
All right, so first of all, what would infect mean? If you infect someone with something.
So you affect people or you infect people, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, infect is always related to some kind of like an infection, like maybe even a virus or when something becomes worse.
Mm-hmm. So basically it means that every day you have the chance to either just be good enough to be mediocre, or you can go out there, you can give it your best, you can really inspire people, you can impact people with like your performance, basically,
mm-hmm.
with giving it your all.
Yeah, even sometimes when I think of infecting them with my mediocrity, it could also be maybe like your bad vibes. If someone's being a sad sack, maybe it kind of becomes quite infectious.
What's a sad sack?
A sad sack is just a person who's maybe grumpy or just not very interested in what's going on, and they're generally not a very positive person at that particular moment.
They're complaining all the time.
Yeah,
nothing's good enough.
It can ruin a culture at your workplace too. Mm-hmm. If you think about that,
maybe they're very whiny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And someone who's like trying to affect people with their greatness or trying to give their best, then you're actually inspiring other people to also give their best.
There's a book that we read together actually when we started Real Life English called 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And this is a book that we kind of use as part of our company culture, and there's an idea in there. They talk about your circle of influence.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if your whole work is filled with like negative people, but if you come in there with a positive attitude, you start affecting the environment around you.
Mm-hmm.
And that multiplies. And pretty soon you have influence.
Mm-hmm. Not just at work, it could be your friends, it could be your family, anyone you're spending a lot of time with.
So it's sort of a call for responsibility. Take mm-hmm. responsible for your own states, for the way you treat people, and for the energy you're putting into the world, right?
And the attitude you take towards things.
Yeah.
If you're learning a language, you could have a really negative attitude like, oh, I'm never going to get fluent, or I'm just making mistakes all the time, or, you know, my English really sucks. Or you could be really positive and you could say, hey, I'm making a bunch of mistakes, but I'm correcting them. I'm getting better.
And this is something I think a lot of people have a really negative attitude towards learning and toward having the courage to really improve and make those mistakes. So it's really important to be around people who support you. Mm-hmm. And if you're not around people who support you in that, you can actually start encouraging them to make mistakes and go after it and test their limits to leave their comfort zone and improve.
Where the magic happens.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So just one last time, what was today's kick-ass quote again, Mr. V?
At all times in life, you'll either affect people with your greatness or you will infect them with your mediocrity.
So hopefully we can try to affect you with some of our greatness today by having our conversational topic. It's going to be about sports expressions. Try to do this by teaching you as many cool expressions as possible. And just having some good vibes in our conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, without further ado, let's move on to today's conversation topic.
What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about, huh?
All right, guys. So, last time we talked about sports, we're going to talk about a whole range of sports. So we ended up just talking about baseball. And, you know, it's not really a sport I know too much about, but I had to kind of roll with the punches and just try to, you know, make the most of the situation and just accept it. But now we're opening that up to other sports, right?
This one's going to be a slam dunk.
This one's going to be a slam dunk. Hopefully we can be on fire and just knock them out of the park. Is that what the expression is again?
Yeah. We're not going to drop the ball.
We're not going to drop
sure.
the ball. Alrighty, so...
Let's raise the bar.
Which means...
There's an Olympic sport called the pole vault, which is when someone has a pole and they kind of run really fast and then stick it into the ground and try to jump over a bar. And the person who jumps the highest is going to have to raise the bar for everyone else. So they're kind of bringing everyone up to a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exactly what Justin means. We want to raise the bar with this podcast and bring up your level of English.
You also say to step up your game, right?
Step up your game.
Yeah. Okay, so let's really come out of the gate strong today with some new expressions for these guys.
What do you mean by come out of the gates?
To come out of the gates is to be very excited and really like ready for, I guess this maybe comes from a gladiator times, battles maybe?
Horse racing?
Is it horse racing?
Yeah.
Okay. So when they, oh, of course, yeah, when they open up the gates, that's when the horses start sprinting.
But remember, life's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
Okay.
What does that mean?
It means that don't run too hard at the beginning because we have to go for a while.
You have to pace yourself.
Yes. Pace yourself. What do you mean by that?
It means take your time, not use all your energy up at once.
Exactly.
Which is really common in running, but it also is very important in life.
So you don't run out of gas.
Exactly. What does that mean?
Run out of gas?
Run out of gas, again, is if you use up all your energy at the start and towards the end of the race or whatever you're doing, you have no more energy left to actually finish what you'd started. Unless you get a second wind. What is a second wind?
Sometimes on the home stretch. What does home stretch mean?
Home stretch is like the final part of the race.
Yeah. Sometimes on the home stretch on a race, you feel like you have a second wind or a second round of energy that comes.
It's like when you can see like the finish line of a running race or whatever you're doing at the time, you suddenly get a burst of energy because you can see like the end is so near. You're like, damn, I'm gonna get there. And you suddenly
give it all you got.
You just give it all you got. What does that mean?
It means you affect people with your greatness by doing one final sprint.
Yeah. No infecting them with your mediocrity.
Exactly.
Just give it what you got.
Sometimes that race, if you're racing with somebody and you're sprinting with your second wind near the end, it comes down to the wire.
What does that mean?
Down to the wire?
Yeah.
Down to the wire means...
it's neck and neck.
Neck and neck. Yeah, if you think about two horses racing, they're right next to each other, and down to the wire is the finish line. And who knows? You might win by a nose.
Who knows? You might win by a nose. This is starting to rhyme. So yeah.
Justin used to, from his rap career, it still kind of sticks with him sometimes.
Yeah, he just drops some beats here and there.
So what does win by a nose mean?
Win by a nose means that if you imagine you were racing someone and you guys were neck and neck, which is another thing, you're like right next to each other, you're not sure who's going to win, and then you win by a nose, then it's like, it's a photo finish, we say as well. You could just see one person was just ahead by the tip of their nose.
So are they referring to people or are they referring to animals in these expressions,
do you think? You can use this expression for either, but I think it'd make more sense for like a horse whose nose would be the very, very front of its body.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Maybe if you have someone with kind of a schnoz.
Could a also schnoz. What's a schnoz?
Schnoz is a big nose.
Yeah. Sometimes these races are really close near the end. You know, they come down to the wire. And have you guys ever seen a race where somebody like just bites the dust?
Bites the dust? Isn't that when someone dies?
Another one bites the dust.
Yeah, it could be like when you've defeated someone. Like if you're if I was a boxing champion and I beat that someone, and like Chad wins and another one bites the dust, another guy.
It sounds usually, like he died though.
Yeah, bite the dust means to actually like crash or die. I think it does mean to die, yeah. Or maybe even like fall, right?
I kind of bit the dust today on my run. I fell, but luckily it was early in the morning so no one saw. And I just got up and kept going.
But did you hurt yourself?
Yeah, I kind of scraped my palms.
You're happier that no one saw you than the fact that you actually hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wasn't hurt emotionally, just physically.
Okay. That's better.
So again, bite the dust. Bite it when you fall really hard.
Yeah.
So as you can see, we went from horse racing expressions, racing expressions.
Well, let's not stop here. Let's keep the ball rolling.
Oh, what does that mean?
Keep the ball rolling means to just keep this momentum going. Seems like we're...
I don't think we should throw in the towel just yet. We should throw a hat in the ring.
Okay. Throwing the towel means?
Throw in the towel?
Mm-hmm.
It's in boxing. When the boxer's getting beat up real badly, like whoever's like assisting him could throw the towel in the ring and it kind of ends the fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not quite sure what throw one's hat in the ring would mean. You said we should throw our hat in the ring.
It means we should make a bid for it. To throw your hat in the ring means to volunteer to compete.
Okay.
But sometimes you might throw your hat into the ring, but you don't want to be on the ropes.
On the ropes? What does that mean?
Yeah. That'd be on the verge of defeat, like in boxing. If the boxer has you against the ropes, kind of got your back towards it and you're cornered it in.
It's like you're between a rock and a hard place. Have you heard that expression?
Rock climbing expression.
You're between a rock and a hard place.
What does that mean though?
It means you don't have a lot of options, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're on the ropes, same thing. You need to quickly make a dynamic move to get yourself in a better position so you don't bite the dust.
Exactly. And just to clarify a lot of these expressions, some of you guys might be thinking, wow, but these expressions are all related to sports, but in actual fact, these expressions are used in everyday situations. We're actually just referencing them to where they came from, like in a literal sense, in like a running race and stuff like this. But how about we give them some examples of the expressions we've just taught them, but in like a real life situation? Like, how would you use expression on the ropes? I think my relationship is on the ropes is something that you hear a lot. It's a common collocation there.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So I really like talking about these boxing metaphors. There are a couple other ones that I really like. What about when something's below the belt?
Cheap move, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by cheap in this sense?
I mean that it's not fair.
Yeah.
So below the belt, obviously, if you hit someone below the belt, it's where they're most sensitive.
It's against the rules, too.
And it's against the rules.
And so sometimes we have, like, so if Chad says something that's kind of insulting in a way that's just not cool for our friendship, I might be like, man, that was below the belt.
Mm-hmm. Or a low blow.
A low blow. That's it.
It's kind of even in work, if you wanted to say it, use this expression. Maybe it's something that's not very ethical. That was kind of a below the belt move of that company to do that.
Mm-hmm. So low blow.
What was a low blow?
What do you mean by blow in this sense?
Blow is a punch in this sense. Yeah. You could also say like you're kicking someone when they're down.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like someone's already in a vulnerable position. And it's like you imagine someone's been knocked out and you continue kicking them in the literal sense. But also if someone just like emotionally they're really wrecked and then you do something just to hurt them even worse.
They're emotionally wrecked?
Yeah. They're really, they've been really hurt emotionally.
Mm-hmm. So as you can see, these are really popular sports expressions. I think a lot of them originate in the United States, I think, would you say?
Yeah, maybe some of them also in could be in England, but I think boxing is a pretty common sport in the U.S.
And horse racing has got to be pretty international, though, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, moving on to tennis. We have a tennis expression that's very popular.
What is it? The ball's in your court.
All right, Chad, the ball's in your court. You want to explain this one?
Yeah, and the ball's in my court means that I get to make all the decisions.
It's your move.
It's my move. Is that actually tennis?
Yeah.
Okay.
We use this in maybe like you're having an email conversation with somebody,
mm-hmm.
and you've done everything you can, so it's like, all right, you know, I prepared everything I can, so the ball's in your court now. If mm-hmm. this is going to happen, I need your response.
Yeah, that's true. What about if I said, he served me? You just got served.
Ah, that's a good one.
Yeah, but I guess serving is not just tennis. It could also be volleyball,
yeah,
other sports where you serve. But what does the expression mean if I was to say, y'all just got served?
Well, first of all, what would serve mean literally in volleyball or in tennis?
It's when you kind of launch the ball, you throw it up and then smack it over the net
mm-hmm.
to the other side.
Smack?
Just smack is another way to say hit.
Okay. So if you say you just got served, that'd be like someone said a really good insult or like a really something very witty and smart to
mm-hmm.
kind of insult you. They could yeah. say you just got served.
Unless yeah. you have a comeback.
Unless you have a really good comeback. What does that mean?
It could also be a good sports expression, a comeback.
A comeback, yeah. Well, in this sense, it means to have a really good response to that person.
That person might just say touche.
But yeah. in sports, what is a comeback?
A comeback is if you are maybe the underdog.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not even the underdog, but it's an expression I want to put out there. I'll explain that in a second. Comeback would be like if you are behind, if you're losing by quite a lot, and then suddenly you start scoring a lot. You start scoring and scoring and scoring, and suddenly you're narrowly winning or you're drawn or tied.
Yeah, if you win, people might say, that was a great comeback.
That was a great comeback.
And in the act of it, we sometimes say that's a rally. They're rallying,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Rallying points. I think that's football, maybe? American football?
We say that in like badminton and stuff like that as well, or tennis, it's a rally. I don't know why I said badminton, like tennis is so much more popular.
But like a rally is also like an event before a big game, right? But during the game, it's when you just get all excited because you're making a big comeback.
Mm-hmm. Right? Kind of like the Mariners.
Yep.
When they won the World Series.
They didn't win the World Series, unfortunately. Oh. But they did win the division.
Okay.
And it was a big comeback.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I feel like we kind of hit a hole in one with this podcast.
I think so. A hole in one. What does that mean? And what sport does that come from?
It comes from golf. And a hole in one is when you, amazingly, I think it's a pretty difficult thing to do, you get the ball into that little tiny cup in just one hit.
Sort of like bullseye in darts.
Mm-hmm.
Or in archery.
Yeah. Bullseye? What's that?
Bullseye is when you hit the little circle in the middle, because I imagine it's about as difficult as hitting the eye of a bull.
With the bow and arrow, right?
Yeah. Or with a dart that you throw with your fingers.
It's like a hole in one.
Mm-hmm. And just so you know, we don't promote you trying to shoot arrows into bulls' eyes.
Or shoot apples that are sitting on somebody's head.
Yeah. No one was hurt in the making of this podcast.
Yeah. That was a lot of expressions. Hopefully you guys managed to remember some of them. all of them, hopefully all of them, obviously.
If you have the power lesson, you can do some hardcore reviewing.
You can. We're going to add most of them into the show notes as well for this episode. And if you aren't on our website, you can go to our website right now and check out the show notes. It will be at www.reallifeglobal.com/raisethebar. That's RAISETHEBAR. Raise the bar. I hope I spelled that right.
And this is not the bar you drink at.
No, it's not. It's not. And also, if you guys have any comments, maybe some sports expressions that we haven't mentioned that you've heard and you really like, feel free to comment on the show notes as well, and we'd be happy to hear about it. All right, that's it for today's conversation topic, but not the end of today's podcast. So let's quickly move on to today's killer quote.
Killer clip.
Killer clip. Okay, so for today's killer clip, we're going to do a scene from a very famous movie from probably the 90s. One of the movies that started Adam Sandler's career, I guess, made him very famous.
First big hit.
His first big hit, popular movie. And that movie is Billy Madison. And what's the concept of the movie really quickly, Justin?
So Billy is a man in his probably like late 20s, early 30s, who needs to return to school.
Why?
All the way from grade one. So he's going to school with little kids because he found out that his father had paid for him to pass the grades and to inherit the business, the family business, because his father died. He needs to actually legitimately graduate from high school. And since his dad paid the teachers ever since he was a little kid.
I don't know if his dad died. I think his dad was just like retiring and was moving on.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah. But still, yeah, that's the idea. And but he does this very quickly. He goes from like grade one all the way to like
12.
Grade 12, was that the last
grade? And he's very immature, and he goes back and he realizes like, oh man, I've got to like act in a different way now.
Mm-hmm. And this scene in particular is really funny. It's actually when they are, I think is in year 5 or 4 or something like that, grade, you'd say in the US, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they go on a field trip, which is when they, when the classroom, what is that? They go out to visit a national park or museum.
What do you guys say in Australia?
We say a school excursion.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so they go to some kind of, I think it's a historical museum or something like that in the US where they reenact colonial times or something like that. And Billy Madison notices that one of his classmates, Ernie, is facing the wall. And what happened to Ernie?
He had a little accident.
What do you mean by a little accident?
He peed his pants.
What do you mean by peed?
Pee means urinate.
Mm-hmm.
So the scene starts off with their teacher, Veronica Vaughn is her name, in the movie.
You should remember that well.
Well, I think the bus driver says it all the time. Not Veronica Vaughn. But so she's like, okay, class, it's time to go. And she says to Billy Madison, hey, what's with Ernie?
What's with Ernie? What's wrong with Ernie?
What's wrong with Ernie? What's with Ernie? He's just staring at a wall. So Billy goes over there to see what's up, which means, you know, what's going on? Why is he doing that? He's like, did you fall in love with the wall or something? And he's like, no, I had a little accident.
Mm-hmm.
And he turns around and we discover that Ernie has peed his pants.
What does Billy do to save the day?
Kind of sticks up for Ernie by actually splashing his own pants with water so it looks as if he had wet his pants.
And what do you mean by stick up for?
It means that he defends him.
Okay. He helps him like create a beneficial situation, right?
Yeah. And so when everyone starts laughing at him, he says, oh, it's actually the coolest thing. Everyone my age pees their pants.
Yeah.
And then there's an old woman who says something pretty funny. You have to know who Miles Davis is. Who's Miles Davis?
Famous musician.
Jazz musician?
Mm-hmm.
He was a cool dude.
And one final thing, what does gross mean?
Gross means like disgusting. It's generally like the way we say it's like gross.
Something that makes you want to vomit.
It's repulsive. So let's check out today's killer clip with Mr. Billy Madison.
Well, I guess that's it. Okay, everybody, back on the bus. Hey, what's with Ernie?
I don't know. I'll be right back. Hey, Ernie. What's up?
Nothing.
You falling in love with the wall or something?
I had an accident.
You had an accident? What does that mean?
Goo!
Oh, I know. Okay. Don't worry, buddy. You hang tight. I'll be right back.
Hey, look, everybody. Billy peed his pants.
Of course I peed my pants. Everybody my age pees their pants. It's the coolest.
Really?
Yes! You ain't cool unless you pee your pants.
Wow. Hey, man. Ernie pees pants, too.
All right.
If peeing your pants is cool, consider me Miles Davis.
Oh, that was the grossest thing I've ever heard in my life. Let's go.
All right, guys, so that was today's killer clip. Hopefully you could understand all of it. If not, we suggest just going back and listening to it again, or obviously we're gonna post a link to the actual video on today's show notes.
Yeah, either way, we definitely recommend you watch it because it brings it to life.
Mm-hmm. Even the movie. If you haven't seen Billy Madison before, it's a pretty funny movie.
Good way to laugh your ass off.
And just having more contact with, you know, media, movies and things like this, even if you are reliant on subtitles maybe or the dubbed version, just keep trying to test yourself more, maybe taking the subtitles off or even putting the subtitles in English for now. Always testing, pushing the limits.
Don't be mediocre.
Raising the bar with your English.
If you do this every day, you're going to see big, big improvements over the weeks and months, and pretty soon you're going to realize that you're on a completely different level, that you've stepped up your game, that you've affected the world with your greatness.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
Awesome, guys. So we hope you really enjoyed today's episode, and we hope we helped affect you with a little bit of greatness. Hopefully we try to put all our greatness into this podcast. If you want to help us make this even greater, we'd appreciate any feedback, any suggestions for future episodes. Feel free to contact us. You can contact me personally, chad@reallifeglobal.com.
justin@reallifeglobal.com.
ethan@reallifeglobal.com.
And we read every email and really appreciate any feedback, suggestions, or support you may have for us.
And if you have any killer clips for us that you think are funny that you'd like to hear analyzed like this, we're all ears.
Yeah. And we're going to play you all out today with a song filled, jam-packed with greatness. It's going to get you energized and ready to take on the world. We Will Rock You by Queen.
Stomping your feet, kicking your can all over the place. Where does it guys go?
Something like that. Let's just leave it to Queen to to play us out with that song. Alright guys, thanks a lot for listening, and like always, you'll hear from us next week on Real
Life
Radio.
Oh yeah.
A big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place. We will rock you. Sing it! We will rock you. Buddy, you're an old man, poor man, pleading with your eyes, gonna make you zombie someday. You got mud on your face, big disgrace. Somebody better put your bag into your place. We will.